It's Friday the 3rd of April, day 13 of this quarantine diary. It's funny the things you learn when you have to. When I embarked on this audio diary, for example, I rapidly learned why good microphones cost real money. I also learned some lessons about the acoustic properties of different rooms in our house. And I got an invaluable tip from my son Pete, who is an experienced podcast producer. The best way to approximate the acoustic conditions of a proper studio in an emergency, he said, is to record the piece with a blanket over your head. It works, but it does nothing for one's image or self-esteem, and it can lead one's children to wonder if the next thing their pa will be getting is a tinfoil hat. I also learned something today about one of the great mysteries of the age, the universal passion for collecting toilet rolls. You may recall that in an earlier diary episode, I wondered why the British had suddenly become obsessed with loo rolls, to the point where there were occasional fights in supermarkets over the last remaining stock of same. And I wondered whether Mary Douglas's famous anthropological study, Purity and Danger, might provide some clues to this obsession. Well, it turns out I was barking up the wrong tree. This isn't really about hoarding or primitive obsessions, but about supply chains. I owe this insight to an article by a guy named Will Oremus, who writes on Medium. The toilet paper industry, he explains, is split into two largely separate markets, commercial and consumer. And what's happened is that the pandemic has shifted the lion's share of demand to the latter. People actually do need to buy significantly more toilet paper during a pandemic, not because they're making more trips to the bathroom, but because they're making more of them at home. With a large proportion of the population under self-isolation, people are no longer using the toilets at their place of work, at schools or restaurants and bars or hotels or airports. They're basically going to the loo at home. Mr. Oremus cites a leading American toilet paper manufacturer, which estimates that the average household will use 40% more toilet paper than usual if all of its members are staying home round the clock. And that's a huge leap in demand for a product whose supply chain is predicated on the assumption that demand is basically constant. But you say, if commercial customers have no demand for toilet paper at the moment, why not just divert the rolls to the domestic market? But it turns out that toilet paper made for the commercial market is a fundamentally different product from the stuff you buy in the supermarket. It comes in bigger rolls, which are too big to fit on most home dispensers. The paper itself is thinner and more utilitarian. It comes individually wrapped and is shipped on huge pallets rather than in brightly branded packs of 6 or 12. So, in the end, this has nothing at all to do with purity and danger. It's about massive spikes in demand, and that's really bad news for a supply chain designed to cater for a steady demand. Having read Mr. Oremus's illuminating article, I suddenly remembered a similar phenomenon that happened in the UK in the year 2000, when there was a campaign by hauliers and farmers against rising fuel duties. On the 8th of September that year, an oil refinery in Cheshire was blockaded by militant farmers, and over the next few days pickets were reported at Milford Haven and an oil terminal at Avonmouth, events which caused some petrol stations to run out of supplies. Things then escalated, with fuel protesters blockading fuel depots and disrupting fuel supplies to Yorkshire, northwest England and the Scottish borders, and demanding a reduction of between 15 and 26 pence per litre in duties. You can guess what happened. Motorists panicked and started panic buying. By the 12th of September, over 3,000 petrol stations were closed because they had run out of fuel. The Blair government then took emergency powers under the Energy Act of 1976 to ensure delivery of fuels to essential services. The government began deploying military tankers around the country and designated 2,000 petrol stations to receive supplies for essential services. Some deliveries commenced from the refineries, and the police supplied escorts as required to ensure that tankers could move. Eventually, the crisis subsided and things went back to normal. The government made some concessions on fuel duties in the budget. But what the crisis highlights is what happens when orderly supply chains are disrupted by panic. Under normal conditions, British motorists are perfectly happy to drive around with tanks that are half or a third full, because they know they can always fill up when they need to. It's only when everybody suddenly thinks that they need to fill up that things go to pot, just as they did with toilet rolls.